Hello, hello, and welcome to the 34th Metroplexity podcast. Happy New Year, everybody. I've got a bunch of questions, mostly in huge blocks, that I'll be going through and answering, and hopefully we've got some interesting answers coming up for you. Let's see. First, we've got some questions from Al. By the way, if anyone hasn't heard, if you're like, oh god, it's been too long since the last podcast thread, just tell me and I'll create a new podcast thread. That's how they always get created. I was just thinking about that because Al was like, hey, could you create a new podcast thread? And I created a new podcast thread. You don't have to wait up on me necessarily. Just want to, you know, wait until people are excited to hear a new one. So, anyway, bunch of questions from Al. Thanks for the podcast, Kinnick. You are very welcome. How was your Christmas? Any new books, etc., to share with us? Let's see. Christmas, we actually stayed in Columbus this year, which was very nice. We had a really nice stay-in Christmas dinner with Durgan, Durgan's significant other, and Puyo, which was very nice. We also, totally unrelated to Christmas, but also amazing, went out to, I guess sort of related to Christmas, the post-Christmas sales season. We went to our local Japanese market, and Puyo was like, I can't really cook very well, but I would like to eat all of these delicious things. And Liz, being my fantastic spouse, can cook amazingly well. So we pooled our resources and got a bunch of sweet Japanese food ideas from Puyo and implemented them. The star of the night was probably, it's called Daigaku Imu. I'm probably slaughtering the vowels in that. I'm terrible with Japanese vowels. But it translates to university potatoes, and it's like it's a Japanese sweet potato, which is a little starchier than American sweet potato. Slow deep fried, so it gets crispy on the outside, but is sort of like, is done all the way through and is sort of melty on the inside. And then tossed in a glaze. We did a maple syrup and soy sauce, and then tossed after the glaze in sesame seeds, and then you, in theory, let it cool, and it becomes this amazing, gummy, sweet, savory thing. We did not have that much self-control. We just ate them all still hot, and they were amazing. Yeah, that was... In on food related news, let's see, books. I've been reading a fair bit. I've finally gotten around to actually reading Hero of a Thousand Faces, which is really very interesting. Not for the reasons I expected them. It's the sort of thing that my sort of adjacency has really gotten me all of the high level concepts already. Lots of good examples of myths from various cultures, though. But also very interesting to read something from when they took Freud seriously. And that's very strange. Like, it's pre, like, 1960s, about when they were like, this is kind of crazy. Like, this is sort of like one mind's reflection on the human mind rather than, like, a more thorough approach. But Campbell's writing before then, and there's a lot of just, like, weird stuff that is considered universal that we know just isn't really now. So that's kind of interesting. I'm watching quite a bit of anime. Finished Monster. I'm not sure if I mentioned that in the last podcast that we were watching it, but Puyo and I tend to... my wife is in a early music group, and usually when she's at rehearsals, Puyo and I will watch anime. And so we watched Monster, which is amazing. It is I would say pretty easily the best anime I've ever seen. Like, there are characters in Monster who are introduced for one episode, and I don't think ever actually show up again, who get more character development and depth in that episode than the protagonists for most anime series get in their entire series. Or even, like, major, you know, side characters, anything like that. And not, I don't mean just, like, you know, DBZ or something, right? Like, they get more character development than, like, the pilots in Evangelion in, like, an episode. And it's all very, very well done. The plot is, I think, largely secondary to the character development, but I'm okay with that. If you're not, you might not enjoy the series as much as I did, but that was very good. And also just finished Puella Medge Madoka Magica, I think most people just call it Madoka Magica, which is, looks really, like, bright and fluffy and magical girls, and is actually dark and fluffy and magical girls. It's definitely a nice, one of those things that I'm not sure if people would appreciate without, like, grounding in the genre, as weird as that sounds talking about magical girls, but, it definitely has its charm. Oh, and, yeah, I'm watching some newer stuff that's coming out. I've been watching catching up with one called Outbreak Company that is a harem anime. So if you don't like harem animes, do not watch it. But it has, it's a little less campy and a little more, how to say, it has a little more, like, deals a little more with the repercussions of the situation that the main character's been thrust into. He sort of is Japan's representative to this fantasy world, rather than just, you know, being like, I'm the quote unlucky guy that all of these crazy things happen to. It's actually a little more, slightly bulkier plot, but they get a little bit into, like, the, what the introduction of modern values does to this fantasy world, along with the fact that the person introducing the modern values is a complete otaku, because they're trying to sell entertainment exports to this fantasy world, which is, I don't know, it's not like, it's sort of the deep end of the kiddie pool, but enjoyable. And it's, there's sort of an interesting, like, subgenre creeping up, if you don't care about anime, you can tune out for a second, where it wasn't strange for a long time for harem anime protagonists to be sort of aware, that they're in harem anime, like, sort of like, oh, this is just like the harem jokes, you know, but there's a new trend where they're sort of tapped, because they are so, like, such giant nerds, which is, I mean, you know, wish fulfillment, obviously, like, of the highest caliber, right? Like, oh, you know, you're such a huge nerd that we're going to, you know, put you in this situation where you have to be adored by all of these, you know, beautiful women. But it's sort of gone from just being, like, breaking the fourth wall to actually being a plot point, which I think is always an interesting transition when genres go through that. Let's see. I think it's been about it. I've read some other books too. Let's see, Liz is reading Tamara Pierce's stuff, which is apparently quite good. I haven't gotten into that. been reading quite a bit of Pathfinder stuff. But yeah, I'm sure that there are other books that I've read, but I will not sit on the air and try and remember that. But that's sort of been my life. As far as how the time around Christmas went, tried to do the server upgrades shortly before Christmas, because I wanted to have them in place for Christmas, you know, Christmas present and all that. And that was, to borrow a phrase from John Stewart, a catastrophe. And I think everything's fixed now, but not in, like, a forward-moving way, just in a sort of kill-it-with-fire way. So that took entirely more of my time than I was hoping. Because those things are never simple. There's always, like, some weird issues that crop up, but it went way beyond that. It was sort of the, you know, when you do an upgrade like that, you expect to get, like, maybe 3 or 4, you know, weird things happening. And, like, generally not too hard to fix. Like, you know, the special character handling went weird in a couple of places, and, like, some of the pages wouldn't load because some functions weren't allowed in the newer versions, things like that, which are really easy fixes. But yeah, there's just some very, very deep problems that going to have to tackle at some point so we can keep up with current software. But we'll burn that bridge when we come to it. Any hints the mysterious snake snowmen who seem to be missed this year, or will we just have to try again next year? They will be there next year. It's actually kind of funny. I was planning on having a sort of arc of them, with a C, not a K. I'm not going to put, you know, two of every snowman into a ship or anything like that. But the things just didn't, I mean, things got to, like, sort of the, hey, there's something going on here, but not to the first, like, actual unlock. At least to the best of my knowledge, it's possible that they hit right before the end there, but I don't think they did. But I was planning to have more stuff past there, but didn't end up getting to it because this separate thing was such a mess. But it kind of worked out because I wouldn't have gotten to it anyway. Sorry for the sirens in the background. It is super snowy outside, and I'm sure that people are running into absolutely everything. It's actually quite treacherous. We've shoveled our sidewalk twice already, and it's probably buried in the snow again. The snow monstrosity and intertwined seraphims make you wait a round or two before you can start attacking them in earnest. Is that intentionally designed so you can set up good chains on hand, or just happen to be the way those puzzles turned out? No, it's, I mean, yes. I mean, there's sort of yes to both. The puzzles are sort of designed with the assumption that if you understand the puzzle and are doing it right, you will do much better with, and part of that is that you can sort of, you know, make your hand really work out the way that you want it to, or at least have, you know, a round or two more control of it. Now that we are getting a lot more weapon subtypes in the game, knife, needlers, parasols, etc., how would you feel about labeling them? For example, type weapon, needler. Melee early in runs seems to be a lot more interesting now, by the way, with the new knife counter. Ah, I'm glad that is becoming more interesting. I'm not sure, actually, if you found all of the new knife content. I guess that would come as a surprise to no one. I don't have any immediate plans to label those, no. they're not in the problem with labeling them is that it rapidly becomes kind of restricting, and not just in the sense that, like, you know, needlers are backing that up a bit. It becomes constricting because of the way that it's the way that I can handle it without it being labeled means that I can more or less just put in whatever I want. Like, if you have a I guess, as an example, there are weapons in the real world that are they have, like, an automatic switch, basically, right? Like, you can go from single shot to fully automatic with, you know, with good effects on each. Usually, rifle-type weapons, which I haven't gotten into the rifles yet, but as an example, if I wanted to have a weapon be, you know, automatic slash rifle, I need to either code the subtypes very specifically, or have it display. I guess I could have it just pick out the flags from the items themselves, but I guess I'm not enamored with the concept, is the short version. And I think that I'm not sure if there's a ton to be gained by keeping it secret, because it should be pretty obvious, but I'm not really excited about labeling it. Was there anything specific that inspired the pictures of the four runes from the tablet shard? Yes, although I am not sure if I can tell you yet. There's sort of I overused the term cycle, but they're sort of they're representative of four qualities or lacks of qualities. And that sort of plays interestingly into their function. Is it significant that the script techniques are chains 4, 5, 5, and 6? Why not all 5? Yes-ish. You will probably eventually find why that is significant. It might take quite a bit of data, though. But, yeah. No, it's not like a weird accident or anything. I guess it's not super significant, right? Like, it's not a clue to unlocking the universe or anything like that. And more questions about the official names of things. What do you call the tight hold ability of writhing masses and ghostly hands? That is called constrict in the code. But, I mean, tight hold is a fine name for it. What about the evasion avoidance from the cut the light fortification and burrowing arm techniques? God, just cut the light. Yeah, that is, I can't without revealing, part of the mechanics of it. Let me see real quick if you, I don't think that it's actually been figured out how that works and sort of named after how it works. generic term for the impenetrable, quote, armor of tin soldiers, smoke dragons, or runic hounds. No, not really. There's just a code block that I put things like that in. What do you call the parts of the structures in combat? Informally, we've been calling everything that happens. You press enter around, which is composed of several passes. Example, using two techniques in a chain equals two passes. Is there even a name for these sub-rounds? Passes is a much better name than what I use, because I actually use round for both of them in the code, which you should never do. But it would be way too much of a pain in the ass to fix. I guess it's more that the rounds are not explicitly labeled in the code, and the passes are called rounds. Don't change what you're calling. Your names are fine. Art Museum questions. Is there any kind of puzzle in the upper left of the Art Museum skills to be found? There's not a huge single overarching puzzle on the second floor like there's on the first. I would like to go back through there and add some more content, but I'm not sure when I would be able to do that. Is it possible to freeze the phoenix? I've been trying Frostbath and the cold version of Pyrophobia with Norluck so far, barking at the wrong tree. That seems as though it would be very challenging. I mean, it is sort of the, you know, iconic manifestation of fire. Although, I guess if you freeze it, you can get Arcturus. Is there a use for the view of the Lonesome Quad from the second floor? Also, can I suggest that Encounter have a new image for next Christmas? It's now out the window there. When I go back through, there would be some more. There's not a ton going on there. Does the warehouse supervisor drop a Midgard hard hat now that it exists? And if not, can she? Does she have the actual full-on big M on the front hard hat? Oh yeah, she totally does. Yes, she totally should. Let me start a document here. Yeah, it is possible that I already added that. I do remember going through and dinking around with some drops. I'm not sure if I actually added any of them, so I will check. Do any of the following avatars exist? Punk, Cyberbowl, Player, Construction Worker, or Mummy? That would be pretty neat. Yes. Tier ore, and there should be more when I get the chance. I need a little more art from Priya for one of the unlocks. That was Al's questions. Now moving on to Mag's questions, which are equally long, roughly. So if you need to go get a drink of water, hit the bathroom or anything, feel free to pause me. I hope you had a happy holiday season, and did will have a happy new year. Thanks for another year of gaming. You are very welcome. Thank you for another year of playing and for correcting all of my additional or missing apostrophes, along with other typo-related issues. And New Year's upon us. You know what that means? Yes, it's time for the traditional New Year's Unearthly Items Spading Roundup. The year kicked off with Dance and Cut Figure. I feel like we're still missing something big here, and I dearly hope it's a Baba Yaga boss fight. Any hints on where to look? Let's see, the Dance and Cut Figure. I feel like most of that has been figured out. I spoiler alert, there is not a Baba Yaga boss fight there. I would certainly not be adverse to a Baba Yaga boss fight. But she does not appear physically in-game at present, unless you count, like, the sort of crone archetype in the mirror. Next up is the Design of Vines. Seems like we got most the way there on this. There doesn't seem to be any word for fighting mold golems, which seems suspicious. That is mighty suspicious. I would also be looking for a reward there. April brought us the Book of Common Dreams. So anyway, the influence of dreams you get, the Carnivorous Beetle would be handy thing in run if you could ensure that you had a good chance of getting it. I feel like we got all the content on this, but now is the time to say otherwise, if I'm wrong. I think you got all of the high-level stuff on that. It's a pretty straightforward. I mean, there's most of the complexity in that item is in the system that it is built around. Rather than in the resulting items that you find. I will probably do a 2-coin sort of mirror image of that at some point that has a little more meat now the basics have been sorted out. The anniversary of the game boss, the suitably momentous anniversary pocket mirror. It's cool because it's alive with possibilities as new weapons get added, but do you worry about the very open-ended nature of the reflection power crimping design space later on? I'm not super worried about it. The way that I ended up coding it, I don't think it'll run into to major problems. Before I went with the way that it's designed now, and I might do something like this at some point, but it was set up to reflect and give you bonuses based on the type of your weapon in your main hand, which was sort of which would have caused problems. Like, I would have added a new weapon type and forgotten to put it into the mirror, and people would have been like, and I would have been like, fuck, and then I wouldn't want to add new weapon types. This is actually why I switched over the puzzle box to a more sort of database-driven solution, rather than having, like, with the drop-down, rather than having the choices for grinding. With more Nova's content came the Code of Mysterious Circuitry. You've already said that there's another tier of this yet to be found, and hints on how to get Roy to reveal his secrets. He's trying to tell you, you just have to have an open mind. Just in time for Halloween was the Abstract Domino Mask. It seems like we have all the content from this, but the underlying mechanics are still opaque. Is it possible to guarantee a particular mask technique if you know what you are doing, or is there some randomness involved? No, you should be able to get exactly what you want every day. Obviously not. Well, I shouldn't say every day. But yeah, you should be able to basically predict exactly what you're going to get based on the variables. I mean, don't quote me on that as saying that there's no random factor. But it's not in, like, what you get, really. It's in, like, amounts and things like that. Just in time for Halloween was the Abstract Domino Mask. It seems like we have all the content from this video. Oh. That thing I just read. Finally, we have the Black Tablet Shard. Did this item begin as a spin-off of the granddaddy of all unearthly items, the also renamed Mysterious Puzzle Box? Either way, this one is new enough. The spading is still ongoing. Don't let that stop you from dropping it if the spirit moves you, though. That whole part, the either way, was struck through. Krypton and I have really much time spading this. Is there anything left? There is quite a bit in that item. As, you know, you can probably imagine. By the time this reads, you may have already complained, as you have in past years, that you made the old items so long ago that you don't remember details about them. Is there a better way to do periodic unearthly items fading roundup than on the podcast? I should really just... I guess here's the deal. If you can remember, next year. When you ask this question, just fire me a message in-game to warn me. I think I did okay this time. I remembered basically everything. But, yeah, if you want to be like, hey, I'm asking about these items, do you want to look them up? Because I'm really... My audio foo is not very strong, so it's sort of an open question of whether I can pause or anything like that. And speaking of the devil, I just had a an audio glitch, so hopefully this all gets recorded properly. If not, I might have to talk again and give you much, much better answers. What was causing the life spikes we had been having for a little while after the new servers came online? How are the new servers working out? Actually, we have rolled back to the old servers, which was how big of a catastrophe, as I said earlier, that was. But, I mean, they seem to be doing fine. As far as the ones before we updated, I am not honestly 100% sure. I guess, yeah, I do not really know. As far as the ones after the upgrade, there were some changes in database handling that played very poorly with how the back end of chat is structured. And that was causing the database to hang for, in some cases, 10-plus seconds, trying to handle chat updates. And from there, obviously that sort of cascades, and then chat sort of, you know, is refreshing itself, piling back up while it's lagging out anyway from previous stuff with chat. So that at some point I will go through and upgrade in a more controlled fashion, and we'll see how that goes, because I can actually do it on a table by table basis. If that means anything to folks. So, without the chat in there, in theory, it should be okay, and it should give us one of those things that's sort of a sword that isn't supposed to have two edges, totally had two edges, but the, as a general rule, what we were upgrading to should have been much faster, but because of the way, like I said, some of the back-end stuff is handled in chat, it was just... It went in a very different direction. Way back on Podcast 14, whoa! September 28th, 2010, you said that there's no stealth power equivalent of Gunslinger, Pugilism, Third Eye, and Pyro skills, but that you might add one eventually. Did you ever do that? Is it gettable now? I thought I had... I thought I had that it was, like, not too weird. Oh, no, totally isn't. I should still add that. Let's see. Speaking of ancient history, a long time ago, February 2009, Voles reported learning the recipes for liquefied eclipse and slag antidote from the testing lab in Midgard Biotech. Subsequent attempts to find them have not met with success. Were those recipes put in before you coded up experimental chemistry and then removed later? What is the story there? I believe those are still available. You just have to have the right set of flags. Don't 100% quote me on that, because I've not spent a huge amount of time in that encounter. I'm seeing a non-experimental way to get those, but I don't think it's where you're referring to. So I'm not 100% sure. I'm all curious now, I apologize. On the bright side, maybe this won't... Yeah, I'm not seeing that anywhere at the moment. I feel like it is still in there. But don't quote me on that. I guess you feel free to quote me on that, but I can't promise that it hasn't been removed at some point, which totally defeats the purpose of your asking that question. But, that's what I've got. I was reading the newspaper recently and did a double take when I realized that the Dallas-Fort Worth-Arlington, Texas Metropolitan Statistical Area is informally known as the Metroplex. Did you know that there was a real-life Metroplex already? I mean, it's a common enough term. I just use it sort of as a stand-in for, you know, the city. Because calling it the city would be, you know, too bland. So it's sort of the same reason that Zaibatsu is called Zaibatsu, because it's, well, Zaibatsu partially because of that, partially because it amuses me. There's sort of a, I like a bit of the, like, just a, if you can get that touch of, you know, genericifying effect without actually making things generic, I think that's nice. Another disturbing reality of Metroplexity crossover news, there's been a lot of hoopla recently about the possibility that Amazon will use drones to deliver orders in the near future. Amazon equals Omnitech. It would not surprise me if Amazon were eventually the ones who took over all of, you know, sort of Western business, Occidental, we'll say, business. I still have my money on Walmart, but Amazon, totally a contender. Admittedly, Walmart has been having its share of troubles recently with the whole, turns out if we don't, you know, pay our employees, they don't see much reason to work, and if we don't staff enough employees and don't pay the ones that are staffing, and don't, you know, bother to spend money on, you know, like, managers and stuff, then things can get pretty bad pretty fast. Sort of Lord of the Flies in there. Unless something drastic happens between me writing this question and the end of the year, no major city has been destroyed by fire in 2013 that you know of. Are you planning to revise the description of Holocaust Cloakers with the Metroplexity set an alternate universe that diverges from our own timeline during or before 2013? I am perfectly content with, Metroplexity set in a an alternate universe. I might remove the year, just because the joke, and I say joke in a very broad sort of dark humor sense, on the Holocaust Cloak is sort of timeless. Like, there are kind of always people running around like idiots pretending that the world's going to be destroyed. So, like, the fact that I had it tied specifically to, you know, the 2012 My Apocalypse, is doesn't really add a ton. So I might genericify that a bit. A couple questions from Barton26. Hey, Kenneth, I've only got a couple questions this time around. Well, I promise I did not read that before I said almost exactly that in the previous sentence. Why can you mark games private if a gang has clones in control of the zone? Why shouldn't the rest of the community know who they are and what they are wearing? I suppose it's a little weird that you can have control without showing it. I'm just a very... Yeah. Didn't really think about that so much in terms of the gang warfare part of things as just, like, the community part of things. If people want to be a community without, like, letting anyone else really in on that, I think that's fine. I also have enough of a weakness for secret society I think I'm okay with it not necessarily displaying in gang warfare. Is it reasonable to assume that our character was at least born by the year 2013? To the extent that the word birth even applies, not really. The sort of penciled in date for Metroplexity is 50 to 60 years in the future is what I would generally say. And that just sort of, you know, will that's appropriate. If, you know, we start having orbital wars and stuff, we can start reducing that time jump. But people who were born by 2013 might include like Lo, possibly Hell, although she's not nearly as old in years as she is old in spirit, so to speak, and in body. I mean, living in the slags is a good recipe to get pretty fucking beaten up. There are people like here and there who are old enough, but you haven't met a ton of them. I just blanked on his name. Larry would be probably born by nowish. People like that. With the nowish being before the time jump. some questions from our camp. Happy New Year! Why does the abstract domino mask hate ghosts? Ghosts and snowmen. I know exactly what you're talking about, and it's not it's not racist against ghosts and snowmen. There is a separate conditional going on there. Speaking of snowmen, that's the third year we fought the snow monstrosity. Is there something about the frozen heart that you really, really want to hammer our heads into find? Or, I don't know, some ulterior motive you have to repeatedly bringing out the boss. I kind of like that people have, like, some options to defeat bosses like that, that they don't just, like, go away forever. Except for the Halloween stuff, because that's... I'm a jerk. In a more general sense. Venn diagram of not Halloween space. But it might be time to put our snow monstrosity out pasture, send him to a farm upstate, and get a new, slick, younger snow creature with some sort of, you know, snow enhancement. Maybe, you know, spray some water on there. Get a nice icy finish. Now that we've managed to get all the major success results from the sober encounters of the ASK Games helmet, can we get something new out of the helmet? I seem to recall you saying that there's at least one hidden thing in the helmet outside of the etheric encounters. There is one quite major hidden thing. It's quite puzzly, though. I'm trying to remember if it actually occurs within the etheric encounters. I feel like it doesn't. I think it's still in the physical space. But in either case, you'll definitely know it when you see it. From the mutant cell culture, its use result is very suspicious. All in all, it's way more interesting than an ant farm. But you don't feel like you've gotten to the bottom of this. How major is the secret hiding behind the mutant cell culture? And what kind of results have we not gotten out of it? That is actually a reference to something that I should put back into the game at some point. There was a... before recipes existed, I have no idea how long ago that actually was, but before recipes existed in crafting, you had to manually select the crafting stuff every time, blah, blah. There were a series of recipes about a series of combinations involving the mutant cell culture and related stuff that gained you some XP. So not like, you know, earth-shattering, right? Like, I don't think... I think that they were discovered, but that nobody really used them a lot. There's quite a bit of stuff hiding out in that block of content, so I guess I'm not too sad that the hint is still there. I should probably just make some sort of experimental-only flag, like you never actually learned this recipe sort of thing, and put them back in. Just on principle. But that's what that's actually referring to. The Venomous Angel has the ability to give an additional plus one bonus XP when combined with Serpent Venom. This number of synergy. Is there more to this item? How deep does its fungal tendrils go into the inner workings of Metroplexity? There is some other knock-on effects from that. On the same vein, you said you figured out half of what makes one of these items, Toxic Eyeball, Toxic Crystal, Venomous Angel, interesting. Something that sends reverberations to other pretty much ignored content. But it seems the only thing we found so far is the plus one bonus XP from the Angel. Were you referring to something else separate but connected to these items? Because the plus one XP is half of the puzzle. I feel like I wasn't referring to the plus one XP. I was referring to something else. I think the plus one XP is interesting, but I don't actually remember answering that question, but I didn't know that you had found the plus one XP, at least I don't remember knowing that you had found the plus one XP, until I read the previous question. So, I'm betting I was talking about something else. Moles has a couple questions. Does defending a gang warfare area with clones contribute to getting any avatars? I am fairly certain that it doesn't. There are certainly a hell of a lot that it doesn't contribute to. I don't want to say 100% that it doesn't contribute to any, but I don't feel like it does. Do mid-combat effects like Broken Bone and Curse of the Mummy start applying immediately opposing techniques in the same round, subsequent critiques in the chain, or not until the end of the round? It depends a little bit on when they're applied. Basically, they should kick in right then. But right then is obviously relative to when they actually get kicked in. Like, it's entirely possible for example, for a an effect like that to be applied either with damage or with actually before the attack is even really started. Many of them are with damage, just because there's a lot of things that, like, you know, if, well, like, Broken Bone is a great example. Someone's trying to break your bones, and you dodge, and they don't deal any damage to you, obviously I don't want to apply the effect, because that doesn't make any sense. Unless they're, you know, doing, like, a one-inch punch or something, in which case, you know, we'll give them a pass in that case. A couple questions from Penguin Pyre, actually more than a couple questions. We've got, how are microrockets launched? Do you launch them from a gun, mount one of them to the wrist, or basically guided hand grenades? Could we improvise our own microrockets from scratch with existing electronics? It would be pretty challenging to build your own. I mean, it's certainly possible, but, sort of pretty, fairly high-end stuff. It's basically point, press the button type thing. They work not dissimilarly from disposable flares, not the kind that you, like, light on fire and set on the road, but the kind that you, like, shoot out of the flare gun, except in this case, you sort of point and press the button. Hope your fingers don't get burned off. Rasping teeth is dodged from dodging the Squaremon, hoop jump from killing it. Oh, okay. Sorry, I was misreading that. Rasping teeth is gained from dodging the Squaremon, hoop jump from killing it. But wouldn't the other way around make more sense? Any comment? I feel like, man, no comment, I guess. It's been long enough since I've been in there that I would need to reacquaint myself with the information. Any chance of preference options to disable keyboard confident shortcuts? I lost a fight by trying to answer a question chat and typing 500 and hitting the answer button, but forgot to select the chat box, so I ended up launching a one technique and got me eaten by a square maw. I'm only laughing a little bit at your suffering. I guess at this time there's no plan to include an option to do that. If a lot of people really care, I can put an option in. I hate putting in options. I think that options are the devil. In that, the more options you add, the less useful they become. It's just the nature of the beast. So, if I put something like that in there, then it becomes that much harder to find things like turning off the combat hints, which are, I feel like, sort of a public service to be able to disable, although I still have them on for whatever that's worth. But the, and, you know, like, whatever the next, you know, request is for changing things means, it just means that it gets narrower and narrower and narrower. And I become more and more of an asshole about not putting more in, because, I mean, the more you have, just the harder it is to find them, and to find the one that you want. There's not really any good way around it. I mean, you can sort of, like, bury them all in the manual that no one will ever read and let people access it through chat or whatever, but I don't really feel like that's actually a solution. And then, I mean, on top of that, I also have to actually not just code something twice, you know, with both the with and without, in that case, JavaScript, function, but it also means that I have to put in a whole control structure there to either include or not include it, which gets to be, adds a lot of complexity and a lot of just, like, places where I can fuck stuff up. I don't like fucking stuff up, so, none of that is to say that, like, if that's something that seriously gives people a lot of problems, that I can't change it, but barring that, my suggestion would be to ask someone nicely if they would, make a, Grease Monkey script, assuming you use Firefox and Grease Monkey, but I've found that, honestly, like, 99% of the time, that's actually a better solution than me coding in, some kind of option. Like, just, the browsers already have the capacity to, you know, disable or remove things like that. Did you know nitrox is an actual chemical term? Mm-hmm. Describes a mixture of nitrogen and oxygen, including air. Does the term nitrox represent anything... does the item nitrox represent something in the real world as well? Not entirely in and of itself. I mean, it's basically, I mean, just nitroglycerin with extra juice in it, in the form of our favorite mysterious chemical substance. That's a lie. It's Eclipse, clearly our favorite, our second favorite mysterious chemical substance. Yeah, it's not nitrogen oxygen, nor is it, NOx. Norse mythology, though, with a few axes. I count only two axes in their name. Where is the Viking goodness? Actually, that's an interesting question. I do not honestly know how much they used axes. Like, they don't show up... I mean, they show up, obviously, like, iconically in a lot of, you know, barbarian artwork, right? Like, modern fantasy art. And it's entirely possible that they fucking loved axes back in the day, but I'm not honestly sure. I mean, you get hammers showing up, like, not just Mjolnir, but also, like, a lot of lesser hammers. You get a ton of spears showing up. Anyway, moral of the story, if you were getting replica weapons from, you know, Space Hammer rather than from, Zaibatsu shows, you would probably get some axes. I feel like, well, I guess, in-world, the only axes that you're likely to run into are, like, tool axes, like fireman's axes, tree cutting down axes, things like that. Lumber axes, I guess you'd call them. But they don't really have as much of a presence in the public mind, as, I mean, knives obviously are just like, you just use knives on people, switchblades and so forth. But of the old-fashioned weapons. The reasons that swords have such a prominent role is because they're still sort of in the public psyche, both from the fact that Zaibatsu runs so much of the entertainment, and they tend towards a, sword-heavy medieval settings. Just because Japan. But also the fencing having made a comeback, not being like, you know, the biggest sport, but definitely solidly in the... Well, actually, it might legitimately be the biggest. I'd have to think about that some. I might have answered that question somewhere already, but anyway, being one of the biggest sports. It also keeps them sort of in the public consciousness. But I would not be surprised trying to axes. Why doesn't Happy Hour have security? Bouncers, Midgard security, private contracts, etc. You think they'd want to avoid a rich couple's precious kid getting cut open in the all-too-common brawls there. They probably should have some enforcement for when you start roughing up dancers. But for the most part, I mean, people just back the fuck down from brawls. They hit the runaway, or if you prefer, R button a lot. As happens in real life. I mean, people don't usually stick around for the brawling to go. Happy New Year, Kanaka. I hope you had a good Christmas. I did have a pretty good Christmas. When you talk to the art student in the happy hour, one of his responses includes the line, he waits for a moment, staring past your shoulder at something going on in the kitchen. Those trash things, man, I tell you, not sanitary. Which implies that there's another section of the happy hour you've not been able to connect to, and also that they serve food. That does not surprise me. Any chance we'll be able to pull back there and maybe steal bag by some food? It wouldn't make a bad choice encounter. I would be surprised if their kitchen is big enough to make, like, an entire area. But, I mean, they serve, like, bar food, right? Like, I mean, you know, greasy hamburgers and terrible fries and such, like, things. I will say I haven't put a lot of thought into what bar food in Metroplex looks like. But it's stayed pretty much the same for kind of ever. So, I mean, greasy fried shit probably is. But I will see if I can fulfill your greasy fried shit needs. Also related to the upgrade, do hipsters take so much eclipse that seeing piles of trash walking around just isn't something to be excited about anymore? I mean, there's sort of an interesting division there. Some of them, clearly, especially if you get into some of the Nova stuff, recognize that there's some weird shit going on, like above and beyond the fact that they're tripping balls. But it's not. In and of itself, like, hallucinating about, like, you know, the garbage getting up and moving around isn't cause for alarm, except in you know, the garbage itself, as the art student is saying. So, it's not so much that they take so much eclipse as they aren't really clear on what fully is going on. And also, they are at very different levels of it. Like, if you, like when you fight hipsters, and a lot of them are, you know, taking eclipse, they're not even hitting you with, like, evil eye, right? Like, they're just sort of trying to punch you in the face. and failing in many cases. But so there's a big chunk of that they're missing for reasons that will eventually become clear, I'm sure. That's actually a lie. For reasons that may become clear in time, or may not, because me. But also, adding to that, because they haven't done the sort of experiments that you sort of end up doing in character, you know, the fact that you're dragging these, you know, it's like these, you know, you're fighting this pile of trash and, A, you get injured, which isn't super surprising. I mean, that's the sort of thing that, you know, people warn their kids about hallucinogens, but you can rip its fucking heart out and you just have it, like, even when you come down. That's pretty weird. Right, like, that's the sort of thing that makes, that would make them be like, oh, but as it stands, they don't have those sorts of experiences for various reasons, and so even when they're comparing notes about Eclipse, it's not as much about, you know, oh, I can, you know, bring these items back, I can have effects on actual physical reality with this. It becomes more of a question of, oh, yeah, there's this drug that, I mean, sometimes it's not, you know, super pleasant, but other times it's pretty cool. And so they're, I mean, just the fact that, you know, you might see, you know, giant lizard people in the bar, doesn't mean that there necessarily are giant lizard people in the bar, and it sort of pays to remain a little blasé, and more than that, sort of the experience that's being cultivated is a detached, almost passive watching of the mind generating these things. And so, because they're approaching it from this direction, even the ones who are in potentially dangerous situations, they don't really realize it most of the time. And whether all of those situations that are dangerous for them are dangerous for you is also very much an open question. Is there to increase the chance of getting the runic orb as opposed to the runic counter runic spider and still being in a position to defeat it? Seems like it's possible to control which run of the ladder tier you get, or the RNG was just messing with me, and it's unpleasant to run into the wrong opponent since they all require different setups. There are certainly ways to guarantee that you don't get the runic orb. And I feel like there might be way to make it more likely. Let me double check that here. Oops. Talking too much? Log me out of the database. I'm sure you can't hear it in the background, but one of my cats is sitting on a chair right behind me and is curled up into a little ball and is snoring as he sleeps. It's pretty adorable. Might be pretty hard to guarantee and still be in a position to defeat, but I think if you you'll want to fight a mix of them, regardless. So I'm not too worried. So if it's irritating you, it's because you don't fully have the set of flags figured out yet. So I wouldn't be too concerned over the long run. And I think this is actually our last set of questions. Okay, there are quite a few of them from Argath, but perhaps piggybacking off crypto here, the apple pie was not supposed to be a rare item, but is slowly turning into one. Any news on how far down the line cookery is? Novos, Old Town, possibly some new weapons updates? I expect to put it out after Old Town, so that might still be quite a while. Also, Happy New Year. T-minus 6 hours on the cinch. Happy New Year to you as well. I forget if I asked this before, but is there a way into the second warehouse on the docks? We seem to have access to the sewers for the third and fourth, but it seems odd there's no access to the second. Really? I mean, you didn't have access to the first. I mean, it doesn't matter. But the, there are some places that are just sort of, chunks, or blanks for me to put content into later. That's one of those. Does it matter if we use the sewer maps instead of exploring the sewers manually? It seems like it shouldn't really, but at the same time, map's a lot more conclusive than a glance, even a handmade map. I.e., is there a hidden variable set for using the maps, and can we trigger it later? Using the maps is fine. You can use a mix even if you want. But yeah, it doesn't, there's no really deep effect there. We still haven't figured out anything about the cycle in the art gallery. Any advice beyond cycles? If you tell us how cycle beats the cycle, it's going to be right. On bicycles. Not the cycle of cycles, not, you know, unicycles, bicycles, tricycles, and Surreys. It's possible there's another name for Surreys, but like the four bike, that's like two bikes sort of bolted together, like Flintstone's car with bikes. They're cool, look them up. Let me see. Well, the in the art gallery, there is a cycle of important items, one of which you think you have, but you don't. And that's I think where the where part of the problem has cropped up. So looking over the items, there is a incomplete cycle there, and that's, and if you're looking at it, you're like, no, there's totally, all these are complete. Look more carefully, I guess. That's my hint. On bicycles. As for triggering things later, we've tried a lot of things to trigger the spider's nest. Fire doesn't do it. Binding it doesn't do it. Doing overwhelming damage doesn't do it. Nothing obvious seems to contribute. Can we get a hint as to how we're looking at spider extermination from the wrong direction? Excuse me. That was me drinking some water. I should have muted you. not sure why that is bothering you. Like, that is just not very hard. To the extent that I'm thinking it must be broken. but I'm staring at it right now, and there's not really any way that it could be. Like, there's just not a lot of moving parts there. Sort of those things you're like, there's got to be something more complicated to this because. Seems pretty straightforward. It's possible it's broken somehow, but if it is, I'm not seeing it. I might go ahead and test that later. You mentioned some sort of flagoset when you actually checked the building before climbing it, but we never found anything that contributes to it. Is it secret hidden, or are we just missing it blatantly? I don't think it's anything that is deeply relevant. No, I don't. It's not like it. You know, you check the building and you get, you know, sweet skill unlock and, like, the Riddler trophy or anything. Spider-Man building in the slag is so suspicious. It's almost strange that we can't find any way into the wreckage. Comments? There's nothing programmed in there. There might be at some point, but there's not now. I'm disappointed to say that Squatter Sing Scum doesn't respond to holding him down while holding the Kingly Blade, nor when encountering him after freeing him. Shouldn't he recognize it? Maybe try talking to him after next round, see if there's anything like Boris's response to Lab PDA. He does not respond to that at present. I guess I could make him respond to that, but it's not in his in his DNA, so to speak. Why do we need to learn a copy of Evil Eye in order to finish the Southside Evil quest? You don't. Notice that for Brown's patient. No, you didn't. Are you missing any other skills, hidden artifacts in the art gallery or something? I assume that is a separate, unrelated question. No sign of the spooked man from opening doors to Southside Lab, but that could just be RNG. I guess I should say, there are ways to complete the Southside Evil Eye quest without getting Evil Eye. Some of them do require it. Getting Boundless Patience is not one of them. I think all of the skills from that have been uncovered now. But I reserve the right to, you know, reveal more later to make Meg cry more. Finally, what can we do to spread the ghouls? We've got Mirror Ghoul, which seems like a non-sequitur. We've got the Squatter's Refuge of Ghouls. We can't duplicate the encounter hand in the Midgard Warehouse of Ghouls. Seems to involve blowing out the windows, and then a lot of collateral deaths, but still no other progress advice. Well, you can't get the ghouls to take over the entire city, if that's what you're asking. But there definitely are a few ghoul encounters here and there if you let things fester. And I've gotten down to my not question saying that I've started recording. And started recording I have. Very possibly also finished recording. So, hopefully this actually recorded. And I will go ahead and save it and upload it on the server. And this will not be a surprise if you had just been listening to this for the last however long it's been. Thank you very much for listening. And I hope everyone had a great Christmas and New Year. Looking forward to another year working on Metroplexity. And I hope we get some kick-ass stuff. There should be a new unearthly item coming in fairly briefly, followed by, you know, more unearthly items, along with, the rest of Novos, various and sundry other interesting things. Hopefully, stick with us for that, and thanks very much for playing and donating and reporting bugs or typos, and, you know, thanks for wishing me Happy New Year's, and so forth, and I hope to hear from you again soon.